The following podcast is part of the Underdog Sports Podcast Network. For advertising information or to find more great podcasts, visit us at www.theunderdogsports.com and follow us on Twitter at RealTheUnderdog.
Yeah, welcome to another episode of Get Paid, your one-stop shop for all things fantasy, gambling, and daily fantasy. We're proud partners of Underdog Podcasts. You can also find us on Podcast One streaming on YouTube, youtube.com/TheUnderdog. You're listening, as usual, to Sean and Brad. Brad, you're back after, what was it, like a week or 2 weeks off or something? We've been talking a lot of baseball, but we're back into football this episode. How you doing, my man?
I'm pretty good, brother. Good to be here.
Yeah, good. Good to have you back. The show is whole again. I always like when you're back. So, we are going to be talking more football today. And, Brad and I, we wanted to go into our season reviews. So this is before, obviously, free agency, before the draft and all that. Brad and I always like to kind of take stock of the season, you know, where we kind of hit, where we missed, what we thought, you know, what happened basically to the season. So usually we go AFC, NFC, and work our way east to west. But today we're actually going to start with the NFC East because we want to talk about ownership and owner GMs. And there's two big ones in the NFC East in Snyder and Jerry Jones. But we'll save that for a little bit later. Why don't we just start, Brad? Let's dig right in, and we'll go alphabetically as we usually do. The 2019 Dallas Cowboys. High level, Brad, what were your impressions of the Cowboys this year?
I don't think they know exactly what they're doing, right? I don't think they know who they are, you know, and I don't know if they know what they want to be, right? And right. They got this guy that runs the ball real aggressively. He's fantastic, and Dak should be good enough, but they're just – you know what? I have a suspicion that maybe they're overrated. Hmm. Do you think that we could be overrating their talent?
I don't know that they're overrated. I always felt like they were properly rated. Well, I think their defense last year, at least in terms of how they performed, I think their defense must have been overrated because, you know, once, you know, Sean Lee kind of fell off and Van Der Esch gets hurt, all of a sudden they kind of have like a weaker defense. And they're not even, I wouldn't call them weak necessarily. They just didn't play up to standards. And when you're battling with, I'm sorry, the entire NFC West, we're talking about to get to the Super Bowl, the entire NFC West at this point, outside, I guess, Arizona, and the New Orleans Saints, and you got now the Green Bay Packers and the Minnesota Vikings, who both have shown that they could make a deep playoff run. You know, Dallas is, they're just not good enough to compete with them on that level, or at least they weren't in 2019. And I don't, go for it.
Maybe it's possible that they have a lot of talent on that team, but the problem is the quarterback. Maybe he is not as good as anyone would assume, right? And maybe that he's been successful because he's had this team around him. Just speculating.
Okay, so that's a great point. Now, I've been saying for, well, I guess 2 years. This was my big criticism, fantasy football wise, in the draft guide last year about Dak Prescott, and 2 years ago, and I'm not going to say that I saw the shift in the NFL coming, but what I did see, and I'll get to what I mean by that in a second. What I did see is Dak Prescott is, look, he's an ascending quarterback. I think you and I, you know, if you look at the stats, you can agree with that, right? And Colin Cowherd, who we both watch, he's like, you know, he's the grown up, but Colin Cowherd will go back on him, you know, week in and week out, he'll go back and forth on him. Right, and I think a lot of people do. Even Cowboys fans, I think, to be fair, would do the same thing. But I felt Dak Prescott, he's got to use his legs, right?
Yeah, right. I don't see that a lot from him.
Right, and he has the ability.
I don't know if he's fast. Is he fast?
I know he ran a little bit in college, but I think when he got to the NFL, everybody wants to make him a pocket passer, and that is very, and again, as a guy who, it's probably cut off on our split screen here, but as a guy who rooted, if you can see behind me, the Redskins helmet there, rooted and grew up rooting for the Redskins until about the Kirk Cousins contract situation. I said, you know what, I've had enough. Enough is enough with this crap franchise. It reminds me a lot of RG3 and the Redskins, where RG3, after that rookie year, he comes back in, and he's like, oh, I'm a pocket passer now. It's like, are you? You're not. Now, Dak Prescott's a way better passer than RG3 ever was and ever will be. But my thing is, we've seen, Brad, the NFL has shifted, and with these young guys coming in ready to play, And there's a valid argument to see a rookie quarterback still in his rookie, quarterback still in his rookie deal. That's your Super Bowl window if the team is good. Once you extend him and that eats up cap space, things get a little bit weird. And so Dak Prescott, you know, what teams in the NFL, throughout the NFL, and we saw it notably in Baltimore and Buffalo last year, they let their quarterbacks use their athleticism, and it opens things up down the field. And Dallas has shown, and I don't know if it's Dallas or Dak, I'm not, you know, as dialed into that franchise as maybe I would be as an ex-Redskins fan. I'd probably be a little bit more dialed into him if I still rooted hard and hated Dallas like I did back in the day. But wherever it was, it was an unwillingness to have Dak Prescott use his legs and leave himself open to hits. And that's what makes Russell Wilson so magical. That's honestly what makes Aaron Rodgers so magical, although he never gets hit. Russell Wilson never gets hit. It's what scares me a little bit about Lamar Jackson, although he was fine this year. And, Josh Allen, we've seen now the injuries are catching up with Cam. I get it. But the rest of the NFL is going towards mobile quarterbacks, and Dallas went away at the exact, in my opinion, wrong time, and I think that's cost them.
Do you think maybe it was Jason Garrett? Because he shouldered a lot of the blame.
Now,
could
that
not be the type of guy that it seems like he's a very likable coach. I mean, I don't imagine he's a dim-witted man, right?
Well, sure he went somewhere in Ivy League. Was it Harvard? I can't remember. But, yeah, I mean, Garrett, you know.
Did he go to an Ivy League school?
I believe he went to Harvard. I could be wrong on that, but he was an Ivy League guy. Not that I give a crap about that. Who cares?
Yeah, me too.
Who cares about that? Yeah. Have you ever met somebody from Harvard who was like, oh, my God. Oh, you're so smart. You went to Harvard. Like, I give a crap.
I've never met anyone from Harvard. They usually don't let me around those types.
You know what? You're better off for it. Anyway, I don't care. That's what I'm saying. Like, the mystique of these Ivy League schools, I don't care. Does that make him a better head coach? Well, I think he had the best offensive line in football for a couple years. I think he had a running back in Ezekiel Elliott that he didn't utilize enough. I think he had a quarterback whose athleticism he couldn't figure out how to utilize. I pin all of the blame. All of the blame on Jason Garrett. I shouldn't say all the blame, because Jerry Jones knew he hired a quote-unquote a B, not an A guy. He hired a B guy.
Yeah, you know, I kind of have this feeling that if you replaced what the hell is it? I just blanked. The coach of the Cowboys. Garrett. If you replaced Garrett with someone like Sean Payton, that'd be a much different team, right? I imagine Sean Payton would run in there and know exactly – like, that's what he does well. He knows exactly how to use everybody he gets, right?
Yeah, but – and Sean Payton's going to get all of the credit, and Jerry can't handle it. And that's where this franchise is. That's where this franchise is. They should have fired Garrett after – because Romo, they were going crazy on Romo when they had a strong running – like, they've had the ability to lead the league in rushing for years.
But they went
away from it. And now I think what's happened is the personnel and the schemes of the NFL have shifted more towards mobile quarterback and all that stuff. And I don't think that – I think the Cowboys zigged when everybody else zagged at the exact wrong time, and we're kind of seeing these repercussions. Now, that's not to say they don't have a lot of talent. But what I'm curious about, and you being an ex-Packers – or not an ex – sorry, not an ex-Packer. You're still very much a Packers fan. But having a lot of experience with McCarthy there, that's what I'm trying to wrap my head around, is what is Dak Prescott in this system going to do? Like, what's McCarthy going to do? I know he's been, like, you know, in a barn somewhere learning schemes and all this stuff. How do you see that translating, man? Because it's not – you can't replicate Aaron Rodgers in the Packers,
My instinct is to say it's not going to go great. I think it's going to be a little bit lame. I think it's not going to, I just don't think it's going to be, I don't think it's going to be very dynamic, to be honest. I just don't. And that's my instinct.
Yeah.
I mean, I could be wrong, but I don't think it's going to be, there's going to be much firepower there. Now, do they have to pay Dak this year?
Yes, they do. They do.
Well, so that's going to be a problem, is it not? I mean, how many of those guys are going to leave? I hope they send Amari Cooper to Green Bay.
Well, he's unrestricted, so he could be out there.
Right.
You know, the only guy who's really under contract at this point is Elliott, and that's another big question I have. Is everybody's like, oh, Zeke is the greatest. Zeke is the best running back, and you can make that argument. You plug him in on another team. You plug him in right now on the LA Rams. You know, maybe they don't run away from the run game like they did last year. But what's McCarthy going to do? Like, he ignored the run. Is that because he had Aaron Rodgers, world-beating quarterback, or is that because he just doesn't like to run the ball? Because we saw
that's a great question.
And Jason Garrett, his resume is the same thing. He moves away from the run game way too early, and that's a Jason Garrett thing, you know? I mean, it could be preference or whatever, but that's his resume. Now, maybe you know, with the skill set, McCarthy will react to that. Honestly, I don't know. I don't know. And I'd have to go back into his pre-Packers days and kind of dig in to his resume as a play caller and all that stuff. And you know how those Packers teams were constructed. It was all Favre and it was all Rodgers. Well, now will McCarthy say, hey, you know, we have this great offensive line, and they might lose a piece or two from that, mind you, this year.
Right.
And we have Ezekiel Elliott under contract. Let's make this a run team, you know, run to open up passing lanes. And I think that's the recipe for success. And I would say, yeah. And let me throw this comparison out for you. It just came to my head. The 2019 Dallas Cowboys and what they did in terms of, you know, putting the franchise on Dak's shoulders and all that stuff, how dissimilar are they to the 2019 Cleveland Browns, who put a lot on Baker Mayfield's shoulders? Sorry, did you hear me?
I can hear you now. Yep. Yeah. Back.
Okay. So let me ask. I'll re-ask a question. I'll cut it in. So I said, how similar were the 2019 Cowboys and putting all that stuff onto Dak Prescott's shoulders? How similar was that to the 2019 Cleveland Browns and what they did for Baker Mayfield?
Yeah, very similar, right? Similar results as well?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it didn't hit expectations, and it is what it is. So, you know, for me, you know, I always like to look forward and all this stuff, but I have more questions than answers at this point. I've already, with the Fantasy Football Almanac and all that stuff that I do, I've got the stats down, but I need to see how this personnel is going to translate to McCarthy, and I need to know what he's been doing the last year or so. So I'm a little bit out on that, but I mean, like the jury's still out on it for me. I do think McCarthy is an upgrade at the head coaching position, but he also had the benefit of Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers.
That is true.
And now he has Dak Prescott, who I don't dislike, but, you know, let's roll him out of the pocket a little bit more, for crying out loud.
Well, it would be something to see McCarthy get everything out of Prescott, right?
It would be fun. And you know what? It would be good for the NFL, you know?
It would be
profitable for the NFL. Not that I care either way about the franchise, and I don't hate him anymore, you know? Because they make me money every now and then. Hey, man, I bet on the Cowboys to beat up on the Redskins, and I made some money, so I like that. Let's move it over next to the New York Giants. Speaking of Jason Garrett, who's now the offensive coordinator of the Giants, and I don't really... I don't understand that hire. More questions for me, right? So you had Saquon Barkley. He got hurt, right? Now, my big question about Barkley, and I know you're... philosophically, you're down on wide receivers that are such a big part of the passing game. Because when you have to use your wide receiver or your running back as a wide receiver, then that means you don't have enough wide receivers. But this Giants team is interesting. You know, moving over to Daniel Jones, you know, 60-something percent passer, did fine.
I like Jones.
I like him. I don't love him. It's almost like, you know, you ever have a friend that, like, you know, breaks up with somebody and then they get on with somebody else and they're like, oh, this person's better than the one before. And it's just like, you know.
I'm not going to say he's better than Eli, but I liked what I saw from him.
I think he could be better than Eli. I don't know that that's – certainly, you know, older Eli, I don't think that's that much of a stretch. But let me look at his – let me pull up Mr. Jones's numbers here. 62% passing, 3,000 yards, 24 touchdowns, 12 interceptions. You know what? Now that I read those stats, I got to say, okay, I'm a little bit more in to see the 2-1, specifically the 2-1 touchdown to interception ratio there. I like that they got the you know, the one young receiver, Shepard. I wish he was a little bit healthier. You got Slayton, is it right? Hold on, I'm reading through the name. For some reason, I always get Slay and, yeah, Darius Slayton. I always get Slay and Slayton confused, Slay from Detroit. But, you know, the receivers, I think the receiving position is in good shape there. The question is, Saquon Barkley missed a couple games. I'm looking 1,000 yards in 13 games, 4.6 yards per attempt, which is great. 73 targets, 52 receptions, 438 yards, a total of 8 touchdowns. That's kind of, he didn't meet the hype coming into the year, especially in fantasy football circles. But now Jason Garrett's getting there. Are they even going to use the guy? That's like, we just talked about this. Like, everything we said about McCarthy and Dallas, we can say about Garrett and the Giants. I don't know what the hell's going to happen there.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, the Giants, I mean, it was Shermer, everything that he had going on, you know, like, I like Shermer, but it seems like I'm ready to admit that he's a coordinator and not a head coach, kind of like a Norv Turner mold. Although, sure. Did I say, I can't remember if I said to you or somebody else, like, talking about Norv Turner, everybody says Norv Turner's a career offensive coordinator and that's it. Norv Turner has been a head coach of the Washington Redskins, bad ownership. He's been a head coach of the Oakland Raiders, bad ownership. Yeah, he took over the San Diego Chargers from Marty Schottenheimer, crazy, super ego-driven GM. Spanos, I don't think they're a bad ownership team. I think they're, they just moved a team. And then maybe Cleveland? I can't remember if he was just offensive coordinator or if he had a little head coaching stint there as well. Not exactly a murderer's row.
Right.
Of organizations, the best one being the Chargers. And I think that's probably the big blemish on his resume because the Chargers are actually in peak form and he kind of, brought them down to level. But Shermer, I think, is okay. Shermer ended up going, where did he end up signing? He's an offensive coordinator with Denver now, which is interesting. Like all these guys changed around. There's like 11 or 9 or 11 offensive systems that are going to be completely new this year, Brad. It's like a third of the league. Only really? 5 new head coaches, but like offensive coordinators, like 9 of them shifted. So that's what I'm working on right now for the book is try to figure out what the offenses are going to look like and how they map the personnel. It is, man, because like everybody always talks about the head coaching carousel. I'm telling you, ever since I started writing this book, because I do analyze the offenses and the defenses, I think there's a total of 21 coordinator changes if you include offense and defense. And I think it's like 12 defensive coordinators and 9 offensive coordinators or something like that. But a third of the league will cycle through new offensive and defensive coordinators respectively every year.
That's so much turnover.
And you think about that, like what kind of impact that has on developing quarterbacks and all that, right? Like if you just replace an offensive system. Yeah, so this Prescott going from Garrett over to McCarthy, that's a big deal, man. And then Daniel Jones now going from Shermer to Garrett, that's a big deal. So we'll see. Hopefully, it doesn't stunt their development too much. But yeah, Giants, man, they need a lot of help. But Daniel Jones, man, I got to say he's better reading through the stats because I watched him. I thought he looked okay, but I always thought that his decision making was bad. But looking back and seeing his interceptions, I got to say, okay, I'm more on board than I was before we started this segment. So there's good stuff. If you're a Giants fan, you're catching this on iTunes, on our podcast or on YouTube, comment. Let me know what you think of Daniel Jones. If you like him, if you think he's a bum, and I'm sure at New York they'll have strong opinions. And let's talk a little bit about betonline.ag, the NFL. That's right, the NFL. I know that the Super Bowl has just ended. Well, BetOnline already has the futures, win-loss futures for all the teams up there. So you can check that out. NBA, obviously, out there. MLB, we're in spring training now. It all continues to heat up. Visit our good friends and exclusive partner at Podcast One, betonline.ag, to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Sign up for a free account and make sure to use that promo code PODCAST1 for your 50% sign-up bonus. Look, I just mentioned NFL. I can't get enough of it. It's only February, and I still have to talk about it. So, Brad and I are going to be digging into these futures in short order here, so just be a little bit patient. But you can check them out right now if you're not patient. Go to betonline.ag. Remember, everybody, visit betonline.ag. And don't forget that promo code. It's PODCAST1 for your 50% sign-up bonus. Betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. Brad, let's move it over now. We got Philadelphia, right? I think you and I both picked them to win the division. I can't remember if I picked Dallas before last season or not. Either way, this whole division was down last year. They finished 9-7, went on that run to win the division at the end of the year, which is embarrassing, by the way, for Dallas, considering Philadelphia's entire wide receiver core was out. Right. They were using nothing but tight ends. Impression. Mike Groh was the offensive coordinator last year? Are you kidding me? Mike Groh. Anyway, well, it's effectively Doug Peterson. It's an Andy Reid tree team. But, what do you think about this team? The weirdest thing for me is Carson Wentz is a fine regular season quarterback. He'll get you to the playoffs, and then he won't play in a postseason game. What's up with that?
Yeah, I don't know what that is. I'm a little bit annoyed with Carson Wentz already. I wish he would just go somewhere and leave the rest of us alone. What's his deal, right? I mean, he's baller, then he's injured, then people don't like him, then he stinks, then he's baller. I don't understand this guy. I don't get a feel for him, and I'm just so annoyed by him already.
Let me read through the 2019 target listing, right? Okay, so who got the most targets on this team? In order, Zach Ertz had 135, which you'd expect. He led the team.
Yeah.
Second on the list, Dallas Goedert, 87. second on the team. Top two targeted receivers there, tight ends. Okay, not a receiver. Number three on the list was Alshon Jeffrey, who only played in 10 games. Next was Nelson Aguilar. Next was Miles Sanders, a running back. So three out of the top five, not receivers. Then you got Greg Ward and so on and so forth. But the story of the 2019 Philadelphia Eagles is the story of wide receivers not really creating separation because they're all getting hurt. Then they went small ball, and they basically at the end of the year just like said, oh, please, please, Dallas Goedert and Zach Ertz, win us the game. We're going to run the ball, and we're going to throw to you, and we're going to be a ball ball possession team. And that's, you know, I got to say, they probably wanted to win that first playoff game. Had was it against Seattle? I can't remember. But, yeah, they lost their playoff game because Carson Wentz got hurt in the first quarter. I think they would have won that game.
That's right.
And it would have been Seattle because Minnesota played New Orleans in that.
Yes, I think it was Seattle. Yeah, right.
And that would have been a close game. They would have won. So you would have had Philadelphia then likely playing as the five. They would have been the four seed, so they probably would have been playing Minnesota. Minnesota was the five. So they would have been playing, why is this escaping me, Green Bay in the second round.
Yeah.
Philadelphia versus Green Bay in the second round. So interesting. 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 Yeah, I don't know, man. Like, they need wide receivers. And this Peterson, at least from a fantasy football perspective, and, you know, there's always a difference. Like, they're winning football games. So if you're an Eagles fan, although you were frustrated by last year and you're frustrated with the Carson Wentz stuff, you got to be happy with, you know, with the Eagles and the organization because they're winning games and they got you a Super Bowl a couple years ago. But from a fantasy football perspective, that was a little high. That was a Colin Cowherd high pitch. Fantasy football.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a... Yeah, I got it. My balls have to drop. The fantasy football perspective here, the running game just drives me crazy. Miles Sanders is clearly the best running back on that roster. And he has 179 carries last year for 4.6 yards, mind you. 4.6, 179 carries. Jordan Howard gets 119 carries. Boston Scott gets 61, although that was mostly an injury duty. Why aren't they giving the ball to Miles Sanders more? Once they figured out that Miles Sanders was their best offensive player, outside, I guess, you could certainly make the argument for the tight ends there, but let's say Ertz was the number one and then Sanders was their guy after that. They started winning games. Doug Peterson, but this is a consistent problem with Doug Peterson. We were talking about Garrett with running the ball and all that stuff. We're talking about McCarthy with that. This is Peterson's thing. Just run with the best freaking running back. What the hell, man? Drives me nuts.
Well, I mean, he does have a few people coming in and out, right? I mean, who's the third guy they got there? I really like him, the taller guy. What the hell's his name?
Are you talking about Jordan Howard? I don't know.
It's Jordan Howard.
When I do these almanacs, right? Like everybody was like last year, everybody was all on Miles Sanders because he was an early draft pick. Oh, he's going to fill this hole for Philadelphia. And what I do is I'm like, look at Peterson's history. He's not going to utilize him. It's not like Miles Sanders is going to get 200 carries. He's not. He's going to get pulled out of the game. He's going to lose short yardage carries to Jordan Howard. This is what the Eagles do.
Jordan Howard.
I like Jordan Howard too, and they're talented running backs, and it'll win you games. But what drives me crazy is like daily fantasy and fantasy. Everybody's like going, "Oh, Miles Sanders was a second round pick. You know, he's gonna be really great for the Eagles." No, he's not, because he's not going to get the volume. He's not going to get the volume of work. So it drove me a little bit nuts watching this, and I'm just as a tactician. Seeing the struggles that Philadelphia had, and they finally, it was almost like begrudgingly because they had no other option, they finally started giving the ball to this guy, and then they went on their run and won the division. It's like, dude, hey, you know, Mr. Freaking PhD in the NFL, pay attention, man. Pay attention to the tape. Why is it obvious to me and you, and why is it not obvious to the coaching staff?
Like, well, I don't know, man. Maybe they're playing more of a chess match and thinking moves ahead, you know what I mean?
Overthinking.
I don't know.
Overthinking. I'm not into it. Okay. Let's move it because we're gonna do like the owner GM stuff in a bit. Washington Redskins. What a dumpster.
Not great.
What a dumpster of an organization that is. They had the first ever, which I thought was funny because I've been railing on this organization for years, specifically about their training staff because their training staff continuously gives people staph infections. Okay, Alex Smith again gets a freaking. He has a surgery with the Redskins. Gets an infection. This is not the first time this has happened. It happens a frightening often amount. Okay,
that is so weird.
Trent Williams holds out from the Redskins because the training staff is bad. This is how bad this organization is. I've never heard of anything like that, but as soon as I heard that news break out, I'm like, oh yeah, I've been saying this for years. I'm not surprised by it. I would hold out too. They missed a cancer diagnosis for 5 years.
That's terrible.
Then, as if that's not bad enough, Bruce Allen, I don't know if this is Allen or Snyder, whoever the evil one is, whoever the Antichrist is in this organization is, they say, you know what, Trent, come back. We're going to put you on the non-football injury list or whatever, and we're not going to pay you. Sorry for not diagnosing your cancer for 5 years, but you came out against our organization, and we're gonna stick it to you. This is a very rare thing for teams in this situation to not pay the salary. And this is your All-Pro Hall of Fame talent left tackle. I don't know if he'll make it to the Hall of Fame because the Redskins have been so bad, but you know, refuse to trade him. All this stuff. It's just a disgusting organization, which is why, you know what. Put that helmet back there upside down because I don't even want it up. It's disgusting. Sorry, Redskins fans. You got to hold your businesses accountable. Dan Snyder, I think Snyder, it starts with him. It's the losing culture. And I think, you know, the billionaire crowd, they're so used to being right and used to being successful that they can't take no. And they very rarely get no for an answer, and they can't take no for an answer. That's why, like, you know, organizations like the Steelers and the Patriots and these people that can give away authority to other people to make football decisions and create a winning atmosphere, that's what makes them so special. And that's why we see teams with sustained success over a period of years. And that's why teams like Cleveland, like the Al Davis Raiders, I'm not going to speak about the other Davis yet because I don't have the book of knowledge on him that we have with Al Davis. You got, you know, the Cowboys recently can't get out of their own way. These teams continuously fail to meet expectations and succeed because their ownership and their top down, from the top down, they create a losing atmosphere.
Sure. Bruce Allen. It's there, right?
Yeah. Bruce Allen, he's a political animal. All he cares about is being a yes man to Snyder and keeping his job. That's been obvious. He's never done well as a talent evaluator in the NFL. And he kept his job for way too long. Now, when people criticize Snyder, what I will say is, you know, he has the reputation of like being volatile and all that. He does stick with his personnel guys. He just picks the wrong guys because I think Snyder picks people that appeal to his ego. That's my theory. Vinny Serrato for years was pathetic. Bruce Allen for years was pathetic. So anyway, there's my rant. Dwayne Haskins is not an NFL quarterback. Have you seen this guy play, Brad? Have you watched any games with him in a lineup?
I watched a little bit. He didn't do much. I think I watched him against Green Bay, actually, and there wasn't much there.
Look, okay, that came out a little harsh. He's not an NFL quarterback yet, okay? And I said the same thing about Lamar Jackson when Lamar Jackson came into the NFL. And Lamar Jackson, mind you, had instant success because of his legs and all that. Haskins needs time on the bench. What I do like about the Redskins moving forward is they hired Rivera. They're making changes, sweeping changes across the organization, and they're turning that into a grown-up organization. So maybe there's some light at the end of the tunnel. I like Terry McLaurin, but they got to wave a bunch of people, and there's a light there. But we'll see what happens with Rivera. He's the kind of guy, though, that I think he's going to get yanked quickly. Because I think he's going to be a my way or the highway guy, and I don't think Snyder's going to be able to appeal to that. Snyder needs a buffer between the head coach and everything. So we'll see what happens. I do think, Brad, that it's funny that Snyder wanted a coach / GM when he fired Marty Schottenheimer because he did not want a coach / GM way back in the day. But I think he's been out and admitted that that was a mistake, and it certainly was. It certainly was. So, Brad, let's get to the next topic here. Enough of these reviews of the division. We wanted to talk about owner GMs and Snyder and Jerry Jones, and you can name like Haslam, I think, is volatile enough to where he's effectively trying to, you know, be at the top and the control. Al Davis for years. Has it ever worked?
Has it ever worked? It seems like a weird combo.
The argument, I guess, and I'm just throwing some devil's advocate stuff out. The first argument people will say is, well, Jerry Jones, he won 3 Super Bowls, including the one after Jerry Johnson left. But Jerry Johnson was effectively the GM and built that team.
Jimmy Johnson, right?
Jimmy Johnson. What did I say, Jerry? Yeah, Jimmy Johnson built that team and the organization there. And then I think they lost the next year to the 49ers in the championship game, and then they won the Super Bowl with Barry Switzer. That was Jimmy Johnson's team. And I'm trying to think of another one. I do think that there is one that worked once upon a time, but it's escaping me at this point. Like, I can't think of an owner. Oh, Al Davis was the other one in the 70s, but not in today's football. Yeah. Not in salary cap football with, you know, crazy analytics and, you know, new schemes and everything. He kind of held on. I don't – what do you think it is, Brad? Like, why do owners do this? Is it ego? Is it
– I think it is ego. Maybe it's the need to be in control of everything. Yeah. I mean – I guess if you're owning the team and you're paying these players, you want to pick the player. You want to pick your employees. Maybe that's how they see it, right?
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you a question. All right. So your father, we won't mention companies, but your father was a very, very, very high-powered executive for a very, very globally well-known brand. Mm-hmm. If he owned an NFL team, what kind of owner do you think he'd be?
That's
it. like take all the owners that you know of in the NFL, say this one's most like my dad. I think if my dad had the job, this is the one that my dad would be most like. Is it Bob Kraft? You know,
probably be Bob Kraft.
You think he'd
sure.
be Bob Kraft, or are you just saying that because of the spa in Florida?
My dad would be the owner, the head coach, the GM,
the towel boy. The Gatorade mixer.
Oh my god! Funny. Oh my god!
That's a good game. That's a good game.
That is a good game.
Like my dad. I'm trying to wonder if my dad was the owner, what owner would he be? You know, I'd have to say my dad would probably, and this is very complimentary towards him. I think he'd probably the name that strikes me right now is like the Rooneys. I think he'd be like the Rooneys. Like he's very project manager. I think he's very consensus driven, and that's what I picture the Rooneys being. But I think he'd be more volatile than them because he's got that Irish temper, you know.
Oh, for sure. But that might do some good. That little temper, keep people on their toes.
Right. So maybe, yeah, exactly. Like maybe that Irish temper, and you don't have the Le'Veon Bell holdout situation and the Antonio Brown nut. Yeah. Well, I to be fair, Antonio Brown went nutty after he left Pittsburgh. We haven't talked about this. Did you see that Antonio Brown apologized to Ben Roethlisberger, said I didn't know how good I had it?
No.
Yeah, tweeted it out.
Wow.
I think he's trying to angle his way back into that relationship and try to get back into Pittsburgh, but they're not going to have him back. They're not going to have him back.
That's awesome.
And then Drew Rosenhaus conditionally terminated his representation of Antonio Brown until he seeks help.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm. That's how bad things are. Yeah, so I think Antonio Brown now is like trying to, you know, take steps of contrition and all that, but you know, it's Antonio Brown. Look, I really think something mentally is going on with him, whether you believe that the Vontaze Burfict concussion changed him in some chemical way or if he's got, you know, and it's not fair of me to say, I recognize it's not fair of me to say, but I theorize that he's very similar to what I think Brandon Marshall was, who actually went, I grew up locally with Brandon Marshall, not that I knew him that well or anything, but the multiple personality disorder, I think something is actually legitimately, you know, wrong with him. And I think he probably needs to seek some help, whether talking to somebody or be on some medication. So, you know, I know he's nutty and we kind of make light of it, but I do think it's kind of an escalating bad situation for him. So,
sure. We'll see. Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah. Anyway, you got anything else, man? I think we could probably call that an episode.
I think that's it, my brother.
All right. So next week, I think we'll talk about NFC East. And Brad, what I want you to do is I want you to think about what quarterbacks in the league, because I want to play this game next week. What quarterbacks in the league would you take today for one or two, let's call it two seasons, over Tom Brady?
Over Tom Brady.
We're going to play that game next week. Which quarterback would you take for 2 years over Tom Brady? And when I want you to think about this, I don't want you to just to compare talent versus talent. I want you to think about where they are as an organization, right? So, like, you know, what's a bad team this year? Okay, Carolina, okay. If you're Carolina, do you sign Tom Brady or do you go with some rookie or who you have there? Well, it's Carolina. They're not going to compete next year, right? Is it worth signing Tom Brady? You know, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. But try to take out like what the organization is trying to accomplish next year. Sure, are they rebuilding or are they going for a run here? That'll be a fun game because I don't know. I haven't worked my way through, but I think he's going to be in the top 10 for both of us. But I don't know yet. So we'll see.
Okay. We'll play.
All right, man. Boy, hey, man, thanks for joining. I'm glad to have you back. It's always good talking to you.
Good to be back, brother.
And, hopefully this video isn't on tape delay. We look like an old kung fu movie. I'm shaking my head, and I can see it in my monitor. It's coming right. So anyway, hopefully at least the podcast comes out well. But thanks, Brad, and hey everybody, thanks for listening. Go out, make some bets, and get paid.
You want to get paid, then get paid. Sean and Brad help you with the games. From the fantasy to the gambling, we the NFL experts help you win. You better tune in for the two hosts. They know everything from the players to the coaches. So get paid on a Sunday, because the team right here know the game the most. From Chi-Town to the Florida coast. Got swag, got butter with the toast. Brad's a washed-up model, don't hate on that. Sean writes the fantasy football almanac. So quit that losing time to win. We talk fantasy or real, whatever you win. You're going to wish this podcast never end. Now get ready for the best show to begin. Let's go.